soldiers on both sides singing along and undoubtedly thinking about their homes and loved ones. Now, this was one of the many occasions in the war when the soldiers were reminded that they did share a great deal, that they were all, at least in some sense, Americans. And it's the kind of incident that many historians of the war have liked to emphasize to show these are all Americans. Isn't it a tragedy that they're fighting each other? They're really so much more alike than they were different. But I would caution you not to make too much of this. They were all Americans, but they also believed that there were tremendous differences between them. And there was a great deal of enmity. There was a great deal of hatred between the soldiers on one side or the other. And examples of fraternization and examples such as this duel between the bands before the Battle of Murfreesboro should not be taken as evidence that there were really only surface differences, and it was almost an accident that they ended up fighting each other. There's a tremendous amount of very deep-seated antagonism between the sides, but much of that fell aside on the evening of December 30 in those woods and fields in Middle Tennessee. Bragg and Rosecrans both planned for the battle the next day, and just as Beauregard and McDowell had planned to do the same thing before the Battle of First Manassas, they both came up with the same plan as well. Each of them was going to attack the other's right flank. At Manassas, each was going to attack the other's left flank, but here they both intend to attack the other's right flank. No frontal assault, we'll get around the flank. In this instance, the Confederates launched their assaults first. Braxton Bragg's men got going at dawn on December 31st, 1862, hoping to pin Rosecrans's army against Stone's River and cut Rosecrans off from his direct route to Nashville. The Confederate assaults went well at first. Two Federal divisions were essentially swept from the field, a very hard fighting. Rosecrans behaved in an absolutely exemplary way during the fight. He moved up toward the fighting. He took a very active role in trying to keep his troops together. At one point, he was riding with his chief of staff near him, and a Confederate cannonball decapitated his chief of staff, splattered blood and gray matter all over Rosecrans, but he was oblivious to it. He was so focused on what needed to be done to keep the Union lines intact that he didn't even really, or wasn't at the time anyway, really aware of what had happened to his staff officer. One key stand was made by a Union division commanded by a young soldier named Philip H. Sheridan. Now, this is the first time we've really talked about Sheridan on a battlefield. He's commanding an infantry division here and doing very well. He would end up as one of the great Union soldiers of the war. He'd end up moving east with Grant when Grant went east in 1864 and would become the commander of all of Grant's cavalry during the Overland Campaign and eventually would be an army commander in the Shenandoah Valley. Well, here's Philip Sheridan holding his division together in the face of massive Confederate attacks. Three of his brigade commanders were killed. A third of Sheridan's men were shot down, but Sheridan helped keep the Union line intact. One little piece of the landscape here, 4 acres of forest, became known as Hell's Half Acre because the fighting was so fierce. Well, in the end, Bragg was not able to smash Rosecrans's army, although he did push it back and make Rosecrans reconfigure his lines. Bragg thought he'd won a victory. He'd done something of the sort at Perryville, although he hadn't really understood everything that was happening at Perryville. He thought briefly that he'd won a victory there. He was quite certain that he'd won a victory here on the first day of fighting at Murfreesboro, and he sent a telegram that night to Richmond announcing that he'd had a great success. On the Union side, some of Rosecrans's officers suggested that the Army of the Cumberland retreat. They thought that they had been beaten as well. But Rosecrans held fast, and the next day, each side shifted some troops to the east side across Stone's River. Not much fighting took place. This is New Year's Day. Shifting, realignment going on. Bragg expecting Rosecrans to retreat. Rosecrans didn't. And when January 2nd came, Bragg decided to renew his assaults. Now, he talked about his subordinates, Bragg did, about this. He wanted to attack a part of Rosecrans's line on the east side of Stones River that had considerable artillery support, clearly had artillery support. Bragg's lieutenant said, no, don't attack. It looks like too strong a position. We don't think that you should attack that.